Right. Just don't mess up. Steak. We're having steak. Wow. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. One verse, and I don't know, and there's a whole lot. This verse deals with your mouth. Okay. And so, you know, there's probably no application to any of this. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. So the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So watch your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So the second time in these instructions that the Holy Spirit has dealt with a Christian's mouth. And you know what, in all of this you find out that when you get saved, you know, the old man doesn't change any. You put some parameters on him, or you point your life in a different direction and follow the Holy Spirit. So, verse 29, let's pray, and we're going to talk about watching your mouth. So, we'll probably spend about 16 weeks on this. And all right, Father, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for this time together. And Lord, I pray for the folks in the back, the teachers, Lord, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that we would get what we need in here, that you'd help me, Lord. I need help. And Lord, that we could get fed from you. And as folks, as we go into the big service, Lord, the church service, that again, that people would get what they need from you. And if anybody is here not saved, they've never trusted Jesus Christ their Savior, and Lord, their only hope is to, who knows, whatever their hope is in, but not in a resurrection. But Father, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. And then as we go out and knock on doors this afternoon and make some revisits, and Father, that you would open those doors, and Lord, that we could be a good testimony and good witness for you. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. All right, so the contrast here is between edification and corruption. So that's the contrast. So we could say, you know, let no corrupt communication, you're talking about dirty jokes, things like that. But the contrast is edification. So the point is there's several types of corrupt communication. But the difference between corrupt communication and edification is you're tearing someone down with the corrupt communication, destroying them, versus edifying somebody. And so there is so much in the Bible about your mouth that it's you know, in the last three verses here, he's dealt with it twice. But let's do this to start off. You guys help me participate. Y'all can help me with this. In the Bible, what are some forms of corrupt communication? Gossip. Wow, you guys are like right on it, man. Man, this, wow, right over here. This, gossip, that's the number one on my list here. That's even, you guys know it. Facebook. There you go. So one of the forms of corrupt communication is gossip, all right? Gossip is, you know, if you've ever, put it this way, I don't know how many examples, if there are multitudes of examples of this, I'll give you one. I remember a family that had some trouble. You guys don't know them, so, you know, we're good here. anyway, it was a husband and wife, and they had some marital trouble. And the way they ended up dealing with their marital trouble was each of them got a team together, you know what I mean? They would expose their marital want. The husband would talk to some people, the wife would talk to some people. And anyway, what they would do was talk about the other person. And the thing ends up in divorce is what happens. But you have so much division in that. What's going on is these folks are destroying their marriage by gossiping. And it may be true. I mean, everything may be true that they're saying. But the point is, you're using your mouth to destroy somebody. And so there was, before the thing was done and finished, I mean, there was, even if they got together again, there would be so many people who had been corrupted by what they heard about the other person. There would be teams already. You guys understand. They may reconcile everything in their marriage. But now you've got this side who is with the husband who thinks the wife is terrible, and you got this side with the wife who thinks the husband's terrible. The point is, gossip, even if it's true stuff, even if it's true, I mean, not aside from any fake stuff, I mean, some of the false stuff is bad enough, but even if it's true stuff, your mouth is not made to destroy people's lives. Some of us are very bad about this. You hear a piece of juicy gossip, and I mean, Gary said it. You get on Facebook and you learn about everything that's going on. I mean, you learn about everybody's lives, and then you tell everybody else about everybody's lives that you read on Facebook. And so, you are a what is that? I mean, just spreading that stuff everywhere. Do what? You are an ambassador. Exactly. That's good, Ken. You are an ambassador. The Bible says this. Here's a couple. The Bible calls a gossip a talebearer. The Bible calls a gossip a talebearer, meaning someone who, you know, you get a story and you want to spread the story. It said this in the law in Leviticus: thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Don't be a gossip. Proverbs, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. All right, so there's a difference. If you're a gossip, that means you're not trustworthy. Okay? That's what he just said. If you're a gossip, you're not trustworthy. You can't be trusted with information. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You ever wonder, I think about this, you ever wonder why it's so easy to spread bad information and it's so hard to spread good information? I mean, it's difficult to spread the gospel. You will have an easier time today getting on Facebook and sharing some information about somebody else than you will go telling somebody about Jesus Christ. It is easy. If you're going to do something right, I've said it before, if you're going to do something right, you got to do it on purpose. And it is easier. The natural course it is to get in the dirt and get in the mire and all that stuff and just spread it around. And for some reason, some folks gravitate to that. I think we all kind of gravitate to it. But gossip is one. It's a form of corrupt communication. Here's another good verse about gossip. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. All right, so whenever you take a piece of information that's not good about somebody else and you decide you're going to toss that out to whoever's going to listen, you're not thinking about how that's going to hurt the person you're talking about. You're just, I don't know what's going through our minds at that time, but it's not how this is going to hurt this person. So the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Here's a good one. Proverbs chapter 26. Where, y'all listen to this. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. You got no fuel for the fire, there's it can't spread. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. That's interesting. So the strife is conjured up by somebody running their mouths about somebody else. That's how you stir it up. All right, so gossip is a form of corrupt communication. And Facebook is a great, I know it's not terrible in itself and all that stuff, but it is a great way to spread gossip and to learn bits and pieces about people's lives that really, you know, you don't want to know or you shouldn't know, or you know, I guess people put on there what they want to put on there. But the point is, you get into someone's life and you become a busybody, and you know, did you hear about this? 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 No, I didn't hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. Part of the problem with gossip is not that the mouth is running; it's that the ears are listening for it. People are looking to hear something so that they can run out of their mouth. All right, so corrupt communication, gossip. You guys nailed it on the first one. That's the one of the biggest ones. All right, what's another form of corrupt communication? Filthy language. All right, cursing. I'm going to show you something interesting in the Bible. I think it's interesting. Psalm 109. Look in Psalm chapter 109. And verse 17. I think sometimes, I don't know, I guess we justify the sometimes. If you're prone to have a curse, you know, say bad words, all that stuff. Sometimes to justify it in the world as, you know, if I don't meet these folks where they're at, talk like them, then I'm not going to be able to minister to them. I don't know that we get that spiritual. Sometimes I think people do get that spiritual. Obviously, some churches have got that spiritual, or they think they've gotten that spiritual because they've changed Bibles to make it sound like other people talk. They've changed how they address people from the pulpit. Anyway, cursing. Psalm 109, verse 17. Says, as he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. And as he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with a garment, so let it come unto his bowels, like water and like oil into his bones. Let it not be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. That is he's saying, whatever was coming out of his mouth, let him just be covered with that, if you can imagine. That's what God's saying about that. He loved cursing, he doesn't love blessings, so let it be unto him that way. Let the curses come to him. Let him be filled with it. Let it cover him like a garment. So God's not, big on cursing. God said, if the wicked want to talk filthy, then let him be covered with the filth. So cursing, another form of corrupt communication. And I guess sometimes you get the myth about that is we got to use certain language to reach certain people, and you don't. It's not true. All right, what's another form of corrupt communication? Lying. Yeah, we covered that one before. Let's give me another one. What? Vain repetition, yeah. Let's see, is that on here? Yeah. Blasphemy, yeah, that's cursing God, yeah. Corrupt communication. All right, here's another one. Fake. Hey, that's right. That's absolutely right. The Gossip, that's right. They create the gossip. Yeah, fake news, that news stuff is, like I said earlier, it's easier to talk about bad stuff than it is good stuff. And I mean, 24 hours a day, it's this catastrophe and this is going on. And now it's to the point where, like you said, Ron, they're just making stuff up. I mean, it's not even real. It's just make it up out of thin air. Do what? That's right. And if you make the accusation, then somebody's got to defend the accusation. I mean, so it's It does. All right, here's one, murmuring. As it deals with Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks about edification versus corrupt speech, murmuring. This is what happened in the wilderness with Moses and the Israelites. All right, so the Israelites they just get out of Egypt, and God starts to feed them, gives them water. He rescues them from bondage. They've just seen 10 plagues that have wiped out a country. They have just walked through the Red Sea on dry land. And they get into the wilderness. God rains down manna on them, feeds them manna and water from the rock. And they, within a very short time, begin to complain. And they begin to complain about the leadership. They begin to complain about the circumstances. And look in 1 Corinthians. Do what, Tony? Well, they did that to themselves. The intent was never to wander around for 40 years. Yeah, the Bible says, it's interesting you bring that up, because in Deuteronomy it says it was an 11-day trip. They were going to make it in 11 days, but they ended up wandering for 40 years. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. All right, so this is a bunch of folks grumbling about what's going on. They don't like the leadership, they don't like the direction, they don't like the food, they don't like the living conditions, they don't like the way God's treating them. So, do what, Ken? They don't like, yeah, you can't make them happy. It doesn't matter what you do, you can't make them happy. There's no happiness in there to pull out. It's dry well. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So God said one day he was tired of hearing their complaining, and so he wipes out several thousand of them. I'm tired of your complaining. I won't listen to it anymore. I'm picking up the suggestion box. We're taking it home, and I'm going to wipe everybody out. I'm not interested in your thoughts anymore. And so murmuring, that is a form of corrupt speech, because you're destroying, usually they're trying to destroy Moses, first of all, because he was the visible representative of God. They couldn't kill God, so they need somebody to throw rocks at. Yeah, so Moses was the guy, so they're ready to kill Moses and Aaron and anybody else who has some form of headship over the people, some visible representative of God. And so they start complaining and murmuring, and God says, I'm tired of listening to it. And so he makes an example out of some of them. All right, so murmuring. Let's see. What is that? Here's a good one. How do I ask that? It's a positive form of corrupt speech. Flattery, that's it. Yeah, where you butter them up so you can cook them. Yeah, I mean you just that's right. Yeah. Oh man, you're the greatest. You're the best. You're my best friend. I've never met anyone like you. It's so wonderful to meet you. This is the greatest thing I've ever been. I've never been to a church like. It's so amazing. And yeah. I think I told you all this, and I'll say it again, and maybe I'm too cynical, I don't know. But Mary Beth and I had this running joke a while back that if folks left church and they said, "That was the best sermon I've ever heard in my life," you will never see them again. You'll never see them again. And if people leave and they're like, well, they're coming back because they got something going on that the Holy Spirit's dealing with and they're angry about it. And I mean, they'll come back. But the point is flattery. That is a form of corrupt communication. That is, it's a positive form. I mean, it's nice to hear flattery. Yeah, oh, you're so great. Oh, wonderful. Awesome. Great. Now, what are you trying to get out of me? Where are we going with all this? So flattery. There are several verses about that. We won't look at all the verses because we've got other places to go here. And let's look at this last one. Here's another one. False doctrine. False doctrine. Look in 2 Timothy. It kind of goes with what Nancy said earlier. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 15. Yeah, that's where it starts. So false teaching corrupts people like a cancer corrupts their body. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:15. It's the opposite of edification. It's destruction. All right, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. That's what they're producing, is ungodliness. Talking about a bunch of nonsense and arguing about a bunch of nonsense, what it's producing is ungodliness in people. All right, and their word will eat as doth a canker. All right, you change the K to a C and you got cancer. That's the same thought there. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. All right, this is one of the main. One of the main things Timothy gets told as a pastor is you have to control the doctrine in your church. Because if people get bad doctrine, it eats their lives away and it spreads like cancer. And it destroys, it destroys the spiritual life of people. And they may not even realize that they're being destroyed by it. But a false doctrine, here he's talking about these guys. They showed up in church. And I guess they started preaching that the resurrection was done. We're going to go on forward with God and we're going to do good and all that. But as far as the resurrection, we're done with that part of it. And so the point was, there's nothing to look forward to. And if you have nothing to look forward to, your hope and my hope was in the resurrection. That we get out of these bodies and God changes the outside to match what he's done on the inside already. He's given you the Spirit of God on the inside. And at some point in the future, he's going to give you a body that matches the inside, the Spirit he's put in you. Well, these guys said there's no resurrection, so there's no hope. There's nothing to look forward to. So what it does is it destroys the people. It's like a disease. It eats, he said, as a canker, produces hopelessness, dead and dirty spirituality, which really, if you say dead and dirty, I mean, it's just carnality is what it is. So the point is, cancerous instruction, it's false teaching is a cancer to people. Proverbs, he said, how did he say? He said, "Cease, my son, from the instruction that causeth thee to err." So people were going in the wrong direction because they were told this is a good direction to go in. I think I've used this example before. People do what they see and what they learn from. I guarantee you, a million, however many do it now, a million teenage kids or even adults now didn't wake up one day and think putting their pants around their knees was a great idea. They saw someone do that, and they copied that. And they saw someone they thought was cool do it, and so they did that. They didn't all wake up just thinking, you know, this is a great idea. What they're doing is they're being instructed by somebody else, and they're being taught how to act this way. I mean, we could go into a whole lot of other examples, but I mean, that's a fashion stuff. It's a good example there. All right, so bad instruction is a form of corrupt communication. So all that said, let's do this. think about this. You're judged by how you speak. I mean, there's behavior and everything else with it. But I think about this with, you ever, I hardly do it anymore, but movie stars, for instance. All right? Pretty, dressed nice, and then they start to talk. And it's just like, what is in your head? The point is, all of this outside physical appearance is destroyed when they open their mouths. They happen, that's right. Yes, and people say that, yeah, you've been flattered too much. So the point is, your mouth has a lot to do with your reputation. The same is true of a Christian. All right, I go to this church, however it works in your world and all that. But you say something that someone else, and it's not, you don't provide a witness or anything, but you say something off color or whatever, immediately your testimony is null and void. You know what they say? They're just like me. What do I need from them? And, I mean, it's the same, you take the celebrity thing, and, I mean, the testimony is destroyed. A Christian does the same thing with their testimony. You say some off-color thing, or I remember working on the rigs, remember in Colorado, we started Bible studies, and there were several guys that came. And some of those guys, some of those roughnecks got saved. Some of the guys on the rig got saved. And I remember immediately, at least when I was around, they really started trying to change their language. And they did it before. I mean, they knew I was in the ministry. So sometimes when people know that, they'll try to tone it down a little bit. Sometimes they'll amp it up a little bit to egg you on. Most of the guys were pretty good. I mean, they toned it down. And they would say stuff, you know, well, I can't say that because preacher's around or whatever it is, you know. And I would tell them, you know, I appreciate you not hearing the cuss words, but, you know, that's between you and God. But anyway, they immediately toned down their what was coming out of their mouth. They understood that. I mean, from just getting saved, they understood that what comes out of their mouth is important. And it's not just important to everybody around, it's important to God. And so, just as an illustration, your mouth has a lot to do with your testimony, and has everything to do with your testimony, has everything to do with your reputation. Let's look at James chapter 3, because this is where we're going to see the positive side of all this. Ministering grace. Use your mouth to minister grace. James chapter 3, really almost all of James chapter 3 is dealing with the mouth. The Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you got trouble with stuff coming out of your mouth, maybe, just maybe, it's what's going in the heart is the problem. Because the mouth's just out, it's pouring out what's in the heart. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. James chapter 3 says, my brethren, verse 1. Now, this is the positive side. He said, use your mouth to build each other up. Quit gossiping. Quit destroying people's lives with your mouth. Quit using your mouth to complain and to murmur and to tell dirty jokes, all those things. Use your mouth to build people up. All right? James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. All right? Let me ask you guys, what does that bring to mind? He says, be not many masters. What does that bring to mind about your mouth? Anybody have any? All right, be careful to give instruction. Just be careful to give instruction. You know, just because someone asks advice doesn't mean you have the advice to give. Just because somebody needs some help doesn't mean you're the one to help them. Be careful to give instruction. He said, be not many masters. Look, what do they say? Jack of all trades, master of none, all that kind of stuff. So be careful with your advice. Learn to listen to folks. I'll say, you'll never really learn. Put it this way, you'll never really have anything worth saying until you learn to listen to people. And you won't have anything worth saying to a particular individual until you listen to them. Let them talk a little bit. That's one thing with when we do door knocking, when we do, witnessing to folks. I like to let folks talk because I want to hear what's coming out of their heart. And then I can address what's coming out of their heart. Maybe I can address it, maybe I can't. But the point is, I want to hear what's in their heart first so we know where to go with this conversation. It's not just hammer them with the gospel, get saved, hammer them with the gospel, you need to get saved. Listen, learn, let them talk a little bit. I've talked about a fellow that got saved in Corpus. There was a couple of them. I remember another one. And we prayed for him. We witnessed to him. This wasn't the guy. He's used an illustration, Jose. Another fella, we witnessed to him. He sat down, and I've had coffee with him and visited. The point was, over time, you hear what's in their heart, and it takes time to address things in their heart. Just like it takes time to address things in your heart. And so he says, be not many masters, learn, be careful with your advice. They may need the gospel, but they may not be ready to hear what you got to say about it. They need some other things addressed. So that's just an illustration with the gospel, with witnessing, but in general, the Bible says, fools basically lead with their mouth. They address the situation by just talking at it. And learn to listen. Be careful with your advice. Fools, the Bible says that a fool a fool answereth a matter before he heareth it. He doesn't listen to the whole thing, he just starts giving advice. So careful with your advice. He said, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And then that's the other part of it. If you're going to take up the role of a teacher, you're going to be judged as a teacher. If that's what you want to do, then that's how you're going to be judged. All right? Verse 2, he says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So the illustration is pretty simple. You put a bit in a horse's mouth, and you direct the way he's going. So the way your mouth is pointed, the direction it's going, that's the way you're going. If you're a gossip, that's where your life, busybody gossip, that's what you're doing with your life. You put that bit in that horse's mouth and you point it in the direction you go. What's the point? The point is point your mouth in the right direction. You're never told in the Bible to use your mouth to destroy another person. That's never the advice God gives. Use your mouth to talk about that person. I know what you can do. If you can get that piece of information to so-and-so, boy, we can really fix this. It's really not about fixing, it's just about spreading something. It's like a virus or bacteria or something. The point is point your mouth in the right direction. You do it with the horses. You control the mouth and you control the whole body. The whole body is controlled. So if you could control the mouth, he said, you can control the whole body. Encouraging words can help. What does he say in Proverbs? A soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft answer. I remember some of the most profound, I guess, lessons I've learned were not when, you know, I got the big whipping or spanking or whatever, but it was when I deserved that. And instead of coming down hard on me, somebody came down real soft on me. And it taught me something that I probably wouldn't have learned had they come down hard on me. But you get the emotions all stirred up and everybody's all stirred up and angry and whatever the case is. And he said, a soft answer turneth away wrath. So you point your mouth in that direction and you make the thing go in that direction. So that's the idea of the whole thing. Encouraging words help. Feisty words, those things can ruin the spirit. You want to stir up something, like we said at the beginning, you know, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. If you don't want there to be contention and strife, then quit bringing it up with your mouth. Say something encouraging. Be edifying. Point your mouth in the right direction. I think about this. There's not much happens before. Put it this way. Well, I would say nothing happens until someone says something, but I don't know if that's completely true. But in general, nothing happens until somebody says something. You know, everybody's kind of waiting around as a group. You know, everybody's waiting around for somebody to say where to go. This world in creation started with God speaking. Generally, nothing happens until somebody says it. Adam and Eve didn't sin until somebody showed them how to sin. He pointed his mouth in that direction and put the thing off in that course. Point your mouth in the right direction. And then this, look in verse 5, James 3. Don't say things you don't want spread, and do say things you do want spread. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell, for every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed. Interesting. Been able to tame all that stuff, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. To spread the poison. Put it this way, I think about this. You know, dealing with Bibles, dealing with false doctrine, generally when someone wants to justify something, they will point to everything that's right about it. You know, well, I can learn the gospel from this, or that guy preaches. You can learn something from whatever this church or something. The point is, that's what you use to justify it. If I gave you, and this is a simple illustration, but if I gave you a glass of water with a drop of poison in it, you wouldn't drink it. Not because there's good water in it, but because there's bad poison in it. We're not concerned with all the good stuff that's in there. The main concern is the bad stuff. It's not that I'm sure you can find good stuff in all of this, but the point is that bad stuff, you're not going to get served pure bad stuff. You're going to get served bad stuff mixed with some good stuff. And you're going to be able to find good stuff. And I use that as an illustration, just thinking about this, that he said it's full of deadly poison. When people want to justify something, they'll run to the good things it's done or the good things they've said or the good all that kind of thing. But you just have to be careful you're not justifying deadly poison. So, I mean, sometimes you end up justifying deadly poison. All right, so back to this. Don't say things you don't want spread, and do say things that need to be spread. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so, and they shouldn't, but they are. But he said they ought not to be so. So you can change that in your own life. You can't really change it in anybody else's life, but you can change it in your own life. If it's a problem, and if it's something to, I mean, it's always, it's something you're going to deal with till you die. And so you just have to keep a watch on your tongue. One good question to ask, you guys probably heard it, the WAIT acronym, Y-A-M-W-A-I-T. Why am I talking? What am I talking about? Why am I talking? Why am I taking this piece of information and giving it to this other person? I don't even know if it's true. I don't know anything about it. I just heard it, and my initial response is, hey, have you heard this? Well, maybe find out some more about it, and then if it's true, then don't spread it and deal with it as it needs to be dealt with, or stay out of it. So why am I talking? What is the purpose of these words coming out of my mouth? Don't say things you don't want spread, and do say things you do want spread. This is going back to the original illustration. Folks have, and we all have, trouble in our lives. Okay. Be careful how you publicize it. Be careful who you tell about it. And the reason all this is needed, because when you spread it, if for instance, going back to the original illustration with those married folks, if you ever have any hope of getting this thing right, what you don't want at the end of that is you get it right and everyone else around you has been contaminated by your mess. Everyone else around you still has the same hateful feelings toward the husband, or everyone still has the hateful feelings toward the wife, because you've spread that stuff, and now it doesn't matter that you guys have got it right. Everybody else around you, it doesn't matter to them. They still hate the husband. They still hate the wife. They still look at him sideways. So the point is, don't spread stuff you don't want spread, and do say things that need to be spread, and that's the thing we have such a hard time with. We are good at spreading things that don't need to be spread, and we're terrible about spreading things or not spreading things that do need to be spread. So, what does he say? What is it back in Ephesians there? Let no corrupt communication, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So that's the point. Point your mouth in the right direction. Spread the things that need to be spread. Be careful. Be careful about spreading your own stuff. And be careful about spreading anybody else's stuff. Just because you hear something on Facebook, or did you see that? Did you see what they're doing? Have you heard about what's going on here? I mean, be careful. Where are you pointing your mouth? Don't destroy people with your